Welcome to Kjellander & Björk in our podcast where we have conversations with leaders, thinkers and creators about the future. This is one of our English episodes and we usually have our conversations in Swedish. Looking at the current business, the word sustainability is injected in, it feels like 100% of all business propositions now. But if you really analyze how much of current business that is actually circular, the number is a bit lower, 3% actually. So why is that? Today we will be talking to Karin Westman, who is head of sustainability at EKN. EKN being the Swedish Export Credit Agency, and quickly put, they insure the risk of not being paid in export transaction for Swedish companies. And that is a huge deal in an export-craving small country, guys. A huge deal. And we think that Karin has an extremely, extremely important job, actually. And here's our thinking. First off, we think that sustainability has a system perspective and an individual perspective. And focusing on the system, the more sustainable the actors that facilitate and act on our macro level becomes, the more sustainable our macro economy becomes, and the more sustainable the system where you and I operate in becomes. All right. This is what we wanted to talk with Karin about. We wanted to know how's the job? How are things going? What's the focus now? And what are others doing? What's important now? And we are live at TechArenan when we talk with Karin. And we give you Making the Export Economy Sustainable and Karin Westman.
Karin Westman, welcome to our podcast.
Thank you very much.
We're so glad to have you here.
Thank you.
How's your day so far?
It's been fantastic.
Yeah. Is it the first podcast this day?
It's the first podcast this day, yes. But it's not my first time at TechArenan, so it gives you a lot of energy. It's really an energy boost to talk to all the entrepreneurs here.
So I guess you had a nice experience of TechArenan today.
Definitely.
Could you help the listeners and us a bit, telling you about yourself and what you do?
Sure. So my job is, I'm heading the sustainability team at EKN, which is the Swedish Export Credit Agency.
Yeah.
And for normal people, they normally don't know what we do.
Yeah.
So just very simply put, we insure companies and their banks against the risks of not getting paid in export transactions.
So, and also, as I've understood, in a way, promoting Swedish exports.
Exactly. Yeah. That is why we exist.
We actually had the Swedish foreign trade minister today. Is she the top boss in some sense then?
In a sense, yes.
Yeah.
So we are a state agency and it is the Ministry of Foreign Affairs that is telling us what to do. Give us the mandate.
Just to drill down on the export thing a bit. This is important. Why?
Well, it's very important for Sweden. Again, not many people know, but we are a highly export-dependent country.
Yeah.
We're a small country with a huge global impact, and a lot of our economy is built on export. So being able to support and drive Swedish companies who export their products or services is important for the country, and it's important for the environment and sustainability, actually.
Mm. Definitely, and to finance our imports, I guess.
Yes,
as well.
Exactly, to finance our jobs.
You sat on a panel today, right? Sweden, a global role model in sustainability, with Rebecca Törman from at IKEA HomeSmart, Olof Koenig, Baker McKenzie, and Alexandra Rosola at H&M Group. What did you find out? Anything there?
I think it's very interesting always to be on a panel, but being on a panel with three other distinguished people who work with sustainability hands-on is good, I find, because I think it's... I sometimes find that we talk a lot about sustainability as if it's something easy, as if it's something that comes natural. But when you get your hands dirty in the game, it's we have a huge journey globally ahead of us to become a sustainable planet.
Yeah.
And Konecas, you always meet this one person who is in charge of sustainability at a company. So I guess it's also a great opportunity to connect and to like unpack some common challenges, I guess.
Yes, definitely. And I think I'm sure, and we saw that both from IKEA and H&M. Yeah. Sustainability is not something that you sort of do in a separate department. It's part of business development these days. So both understanding what your customers want, what they need, what they don't know that they need yet, but also in terms of understanding that you are doing a good business so that you will still be in business in 10 years and in 15 years.
Yeah.
Can I challenge this headline, Sweden, a global role model in sustainability? Is Sweden a global role model in sustainability?
The answer to that is yes and no, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So if we start with a no,
yes.
We think of ourselves, and I think that this is a challenge, we think that we have done the work, we think that we are sustainable. But just last week, there was a report coming out where they'd done an assessment of the percentage of the Swedish economy that was actually circular.
Yeah.
And if you want to have a guess, what?
5? 12?
Okay, yeah. This is a good guess. Yeah. It was actually just above 3% of the Swedish economy. Yeah. So I think this shows that we have a lot of work to do in Sweden as well.
Definitely.
But I think that this is where the business opportunity comes in.
But just a quick reaction, something we talked about for years, Andreas, actually not with a very positive lack of attitude, is that we think, when you observe communication, the word sustainability tends to be injected.
Everywhere, yes.
But if you then look at the results, you have 3%. So there's something in the business development that isn't full circle, I guess.
Exactly. And I think that we are actually in... I've seen it in the last year, and I think we'll see more of it in the next coming years, that sustainability, the word sustainability is used less and less, I find, without actually something attached to it.
Yeah.
Because they are now, for example, with the EU taxonomy on green activities, there was a huge outcry in Sweden from some industries who were saying, well, we are green.
Yeah.
Because we've said that we are green before.
Yeah.
And I think on that topic, not being green does not mean that you're bad.
Yeah.
It just means that you don't qualify for the EU green taxonomy. And I think that to your point, there's been, we have an assessment of ourselves that we are very green, we're already sustainable, we just need to tell the world how to do it.
Yeah.
And that's not where we are.
I see. Just I see this like sales funnel model. When we have at the top, we need a lot of sustainable words, and further down we have the ambition, and right there at the bottom we have this for real sustainability transformation. Isn't it good that we also like talk about it and use it a lot? Because that also
helps.
Yeah.
I think it is, but I think we're also at a tipping point where it's not about. Sort of trying to distinguish a sustainable project, but if it's, you know, more the unsustainable project.
Yeah.
Because it's really now being mainstreamed. And I think we see that when I don't think that you can find any large company, if you look to their business development teams, what are they working on? Well, they are working on circular solutions. They're working on more sustainable products. So it's really being integrated into business. But now we're a bit negative, I think.
I think react on that. I think it's important with that report you talked about, because the data shows us something, and we're trying to distill what it means. And by using doing that, being in love with the problem, the problem is that we need to have more business development to get into more results. I guess it can be a positive outcome from this discussion. That's just my thinking about it.
Absolutely, and I think that the discussion is happening.
Yeah.
We just need to be clear on the facts and not shy away from them. It's nothing bad. It's just the way it is.
Yeah, I agree.
And another, if we refer to Anna Hallberg, she has also said something interesting. She didn't say it when we talked to her, but I've heard her say it before. And she said that Sweden punch we punch above our weight. Mm-hmm. And I think that she means that we're a small country, but we place a high value on sustainability, and therefore we can also be a benchmark to other countries to follow. And then a question may be how we view Sweden's role as being a role model, because we obviously have international eyes on what we do.
Definitely, and I think that now it gets to my yes to the question of whether we are.
It's getting positive now.
Yes, exactly. I think we do a lot of things that we take for granted in Sweden, which actually are role model things. And I think one such thing is industry collaboration between companies and between large and small companies. When I talk to my peers in other countries, this is not something that's so commonly done.
Yeah.
We just think that that's the way you do it.
Yeah.
Maybe it's because we're a small country, but that's the way we do it.
Yeah.
I think we've also been through big industry changes.
Yeah.
For example, the textile industry in the 70s, the shipbuilding industry and so on. We've been through that. We know that it's better to sort of pull the plug and work to find something new.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we are now. And I think that that's in general, I find that, again, Swedish companies have maybe a more positive outlook on the sort of energy transition and the climate transition that needs to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Because we know from experience that done right, this could actually build our economy. And this is what we're seeing now. And again, I don't see that sort of same understanding necessarily in other countries yet. And then thirdly, if I can continue.
It's getting hopeful.
Yes. I do think that we have, for being such a small country, we have some really large companies with a global footprint. And I think H&M and IKEA are two such examples. That not only by working in their value chains and with circular business models, but actually with their HR policies and so on are bringing really good values, things like parental leave and so on, to markets where that's not been tested. And I think if you test that in a market, it's much easier for politicians than to say, well, of course we should have paid parental leave. So I think that that's also something that we take for granted. But it's really good walking the talk, doing good things.
I really liked your yes, by the way. this was better than the type of workshop that I was trying to go with. Further on from that, from an export perspective, is this the conversation you're having? What you're trying to communicate, the values of engaging with the Swedish market?
Yes, I think, first of all, I want to say that Swedish companies are very good at branding themselves, really have a lot of the solutions that are needed and that customers outside see that they need. The question is often cost.
Yeah.
If you think of cost in sort of a life cycle perspective, Swedish, even though they may be more expensive when you purchase something, in the long run, it's cheaper and it's better and it's better for you. But then you need to convince the buyer that it's actually worth investing upfront a little bit more, because you make something better out of that in the long run. And I think that that's where being able for us, for example, as a state agency, to share risk with the bank is something that we do. That's part of the conversations we are having, to make it a financially attractive offer to buy a good product.
Even though when they're trying to compare it without looking through all the complexities, they might not see that it is a good offer. So you extend the value until they understand it.
Well, to some extent, I think that they see it as a good offer, but they also need to support to convince their managers that this is the best offer.
Yeah.
So I think it's more everybody understands that this is good in the longer term, but being able then to make that short-term decision and being able to support and offload financial risk, because I think if it's one thing we've seen in the last couple of years, not to say the last couple of months with sort of the Russia-Ukraine situation, we often talk about risk and people say, oh, well, you know, it's not so risky. But I think this really shows that being able to know that you are going to get paid no matter what, that's helpful. And that I think if the only reason you're hesitating to go global is because you're worried that you're not going to get paid, that's not a good reason to not do it. That's a reason to call us and we can help.
That's really a really great line, by the way. just thinking, what do you see on the challenge side going forward? You mentioned that the risk is actually increasing globally.
I think one challenge is really the balance of when to choose a safer option and when to stay in perhaps a more risky market.
Yeah.
I think that that's one challenge. I think finance, the world has all the solutions. I mean, we have the technological solutions that are needed, but it's really about finding the finance also to implement them, in particular in developing countries. So I'm really happy. For example, last year, IKN, we issued guarantees for almost 21 billion Swedish crowns to African countries.
And I
think that this is fantastic. This is for investments in infrastructure that are needed and that can be done. And I think we need to move much more of that. And not just because it's difficult doesn't mean that we shouldn't do it.
Yeah.
Do you look differently at calculating risk today, given like the big movement towards sustainability?
I think in terms of the sort of credit risk companies, I don't think that they've really integrated sustainability risks properly. Everybody's working on it, but it's not there. And one reason is that data is not there, or it's available in many different ways. I also think that understanding financial climate-related risks is not fully integrated yet. It's starting to be done, but it's sort of, if you think of it short term, it's not so risky. But you know, 1 year plus 1 year plus 1 year, and all of a sudden you're in the future. So when do you try to assess your risk, reassess your risk?
Yeah, it's a hard game for everyone, I guess. Figuring out the unknown. That's basically what we're trying
to do. But I think with science and common sense, you actually come a long way.
Definitely. Yeah.
You also mentioned the peers. When you talk to peers around the world, got me thinking, who do you get inspired by other government bodies in other countries, what they do? And
yeah, we do. Yeah. I mean, we everybody in this business, we steal with pride.
Yeah, of course. Yes. Of course.
But I think something that I know some other countries do is that they really have a way of combining, for example, export credits, other type of public development finance, maybe in a separate facility for sustainable projects in other countries. I think I would love to see something like that in Sweden. That would be great.
Cool.
Yeah.
And own goals. And I mean, I don't know if you work in that type of KPI environment, but do you have any specific goals towards green or sustainability in terms of export?
Yes, so I think we definitely want to support as much green export, obviously, as possible. We have also issued green guarantees in Sweden.
Yeah, okay.
This is a bit new for us.
What's that?
Oh, yeah, this is super exciting. Investments need to happen everywhere for climate transition. And we see, and in particular for small and medium-sized companies, there is a need to invest maybe in your product facility or you get a large order for your green product and you need to invest to be able to meet that demand. But again, financing and getting a loan from your bank may not be easy. But if the investment abides by the EU green taxonomy, can take 80% of the bank's risk.
Yeah.
So for example, we've issued one green guarantee to a shipping company on the West Coast, and they wanted to get a loan from their bank to build a new ship that's actually ready to go when there is green fuel on the market.
That's cool.
If I get it right, if you back to the business development that we threw under the bus, I threw under the bus. If they knew about this, and if they were doing like good business development, it needs to make sense. But if they just check the boxes of the taxonomy, you can get into this offer. That's what
I'm exactly.
Getting.
Then we are able to offload more risk from the bank, so it's more attractive for the bank.
Yeah.
And our focus on that is, you know, quote unquote small transactions. So 500 million Swedish crowns and below. It's still not small.
That's the small ones.
Yes, that's the small ones. And then we have Riksgälden doing the same thing for the larger ones. But I think on this sort of quote unquote small transactions, it's often overlooked, but they're equally important. And I think for small communities, it might be the thing that needs to happen. So it's really exciting.
I think it's really impressive that you do these things, because you can also look at them like as experiments. Will it work? And then scale it, like all the companies here at Tekarenan do. And on that issue, that like the pace of change, how do you keep on top of things here?
So this is my colleagues hear me say this all the time. Oh, I've never seen things change so fast. I've said that for 2 years now. Yeah. That's a very good question. I have a couple of newsletters I follow. I think LinkedIn is a fantastic opportunity to keep on top of things that are going on. But again, you need to realize that you have the sort of filter bubble. I'm not sure what the English expression is, but am I only seeing the things that the algorithm won't know that I want to see?
Yeah.
But just talking to people and sort of seeing what's out there and not saying this cannot be done. When I again mentioned to peers that Sweden was starting to look into fossil-free steel 4 years ago, they told me that cannot be done. It can't be. It's not going to happen until maybe 2030. And it's happened. So I think that's important.
There was, I'm going to totally butcher this this quote, but it was something along these lines. When you play computer games, the more enemies you get, the more you know that you're on the right path.
Yes.
Because that's, and then it kind of relates to when you're too challenged, you know you're getting it right. And I'm also thinking, if you look ahead a bit more, if we jump into the future, what do you see? Do you see that the role of your role will change as sustainability becomes default? What do you see? Would you look
I ahead? Think that so we're not sustainable. No one is sustainable until everybody is.
Yeah.
I think that that's sort of the basic line, which means that sustainability is going to change form, but it's going to be something that everybody does to some extent or not. But I think that issues around understanding and managing risk, which I think is one part of the sustainability agenda, is going to stay for a long time.
Yeah.
And I think also that some, in particular large companies, have a lot of work to do yet. So on that, I usually think about it in sort of three different questions that you can ask yourself if you want to do a self-assessment of where you are. So one is, what is my product or my service? What am I selling? Mm. Do we have a circular business model? Is this applicable to the EU green taxonomy?
Yeah.
Am I sort of future-proofing my product? The next one is my value chain. Mm. Not just the supply chain, but the sales side, which is where we work and which is where I see many companies still have a lot of work to do. Do my salespeople have the right tools available to make sure we're not walking into any corruption issues?
Yeah.
Who is my customer? What are they going to do with my product?
Yeah.
Is that part of sort of where I feel comfortable? So it's the product, it's the value chain, and then the third thing is, are we walking the talk? And I think to your quote on the computer games, if you're not having hard conversations, you're not walking the talk. And I think about it a bit like riding a bike. You know, you can have a fancy bike, but if there's no friction, there's no movement. So you need to have the tough conversations on the right topics, but having it, when it gets tricky, it's not necessarily... That's sort of usually a sign that you're on the way somewhere.
Amen.
Very good. And just thinking about your second question there, thinking about Ida Hult, which we had on the podcast, and she said, like, we're going to have awesome products that no one wants. That's her interpretation of the outlookness. I don't know if I'm inventing new words. She was challenging that big companies wasn't outward looking enough to link to your filter bubble thing as well. Are we getting the right information? Do we understand the change enough? Are we getting the right needs? And she was challenging that we're not there. And that's usually as well, more hard work going forward.
Yes, for all of us.
Yeah.
This is for everybody.
Definitely. Karin, we want to keep the conversation going, and we will, but we need to wrap up the podcast. So the finishing question, if you could switch jobs here with anyone at Tech Arenan, who would it be?
Well, my first thought was obviously you guys, because I can't think of anything more interesting than to sit and talk to everybody here. But also maybe being an investor, walking around here among these really exciting companies and entrepreneurs, and cherry pick who you want to work with. Because they're all more or less born out of solving a sustainability issue. So I think that that would be a great role to have.
Great answer.
Great answer. Yeah. Super nice talking to you, Karin.
Likewise.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Big, big, big thanks for listening to Karin, Andreas and me. So, what do you think? Karin gave you three key questions that you can ask yourself regarding your business. Have you asked them before? Can they be applied to your business models, delivery models, or the organization around you? Anything else that Karin said that you can bring into your own environment? Let us know. And also feel free to peek around in our back catalog of conversations, of course. There's a few there in English. Check out the conversation with Alistair Ross and a new world order, which we released in July 2022. This fits with the conversation you just listened to. What's going to happen in the world on a macro level the coming years? Again, thanks for the support. Thanks for the engagement. Have a super day, mate. Bye.